This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back, and thanks for listening to the show. Hour number two getting started. You know, we have spent so much time, so many hours, so many weeks now talking about Trent Williams and what's going to happen with the Pro Bowl left tackle, who's one of the great players at his position in the NFL, who is not happy with the Redskins, and who it seems like is on his way out of Washington. But we wanted to try to figure out exactly what was going on with Williams. We have a pretty good feel of how the Redskins think about this situation. So I reached out to and tried to get a hold of Trent Williams' agent, Vince Taylor, who's kind enough to join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, just to provide some perspective on exactly what is going on in this souring relationship. Vince, you're on the air in D.C. Grant Paulson and Danny Ruye, thanks so much for a few minutes today. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Appreciate you guys having me on. I'd like to take this moment just to wish everybody well, stay safe, and keep your social distance.
I appreciate you, Vince. Yeah, that's a good message, no doubt about that. All right, so why don't we start here? I guess, how did we get here exactly? Within the last few days, you obviously came out with a statement saying it is now time to move on. Either trade Trent or release him. I mean, have you heard from the team since then at all? Is that still what you and Trent want, essentially, to be elsewhere as soon as possible?
Yeah, so I tell you, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, the Redskins Nation and also Trent Williams and his family have to be in this position. But I want to take a second just to go back and think about what happened. You know, Trent Williams was basically stricken with a disability. Unfortunate, you know, was something that he had talked to this club about over the years of his early career. And then it came to be something that he was told, get your affairs in order, you know, spend time with your family. You know, your football career is effectively over. So with that being said, moving down the road, you know, he had a fight on his hands. And by the grace of God, things came out great. He was able to get past it and move on. Through that time, the relationship with the Redskins basically deteriorated. While he spent time in the hospital, no one came to see him, no one. Getting back from it, working himself back into, you know, shape just to be a, you know, a decent human, able to do stuff day to day, still no relationship. So then that rolls into at the point of the season starting where, you know, it was obvious we wanted to be somewhere else, wanted to be a part of a different culture. There were ample opportunities for the team to trade him. Teams were coming. At the time, you know, Bruce Allen was in charge. Never happened. So now we get to a point to where Trent shows up. He's put on a list they call NFI. When you put on an NFI list in the NFL, team is not obligated to pay you. Now, this is a young man who was stricken with a disability. Got sent home, no pay. There's a guy named Jason Pierre-Paul has an accident with a firecracker, blows his thumb off, and he was compensated still 40% of his salary after being put on NFI. So we get to the new regime. Ron Rivera hired, you know, Trent's optimistic that maybe, you know, things will be different. Yet there were a lot of changes made. Medical staff, field trainer, coaches, just a total overhaul. 45 days go by. Trent has not heard anything from Ron as his representative. I reached out to the club. Hey, what's going on? Trent, you know, would like to know when would Ron call him? When can they have a conversation? I may have called maybe three or four times before we were given a message that he would reach out to Trent at some point. Before they even met, he had a meeting with a former player, Greg Olsen, who was a free agent. So that in itself didn't really sit right, that you wouldn't meet with a guy that's on your club, but you meet with a free agent that you had a relationship with prior to.
Vince, let me jump in real quick and just clarify a couple things, because I had not heard that. That's interesting. I was under the impression Rivera and Trent have spoken. Have they not talked at all yet?
Yeah, they have spoken, and they spoke 4 days after Greg Olsen came to town, and Trent went over out of respect for Dan.
But from when Rivera was hired until then, there was no correspondence at all?
There was no correspondence at all.
And that first interaction with Rivera, because just so you know, there was a time when I completely understood Trent's issue, mostly medical, right, less contract. But whatever the reason was, he should have been traded a year ago, in my opinion. I think Bruce Allen mishandled this every way from Sunday, and he mishandled a lot of things, and he was incompetent. And I will side with the player on that every single day. Where I now don't understand, you got to help me here, is – so you can give me some idea of what the conversation was like between him and Rivera. But specifically what I'm wondering, Vince, is now, you know, he didn't like the training staff, had issues with Larry Hess. You know, he didn't trust Bruce Allen, and that line wraps around the block. I'm right there behind Trent in that line, by the way. But Bruce Allen's gone. Larry Hess is gone. A lot of the quote-unquote people he had issue with are gone, and he still wants out. That's what people are having a hard time, I think, wrapping their heads around.
Right, right. And that goes into what I was explaining to you. He goes in to meet, to hopefully have a reconciliation, to go have a conversation with Ron. And, you know, in speaking with him, he realized there is no relationship. Ron, in essence, wanted him to prove himself, prove yourself. And then the nostalgia of everything that has happened, realized that there's no relationship here. It's better for us to part ways. Now, with all those changes that have been made, those changes are made so that what happened to Trent does never happen to another player again. Okay, so he had the experience, and it created change. So they didn't do those things for Trent, because there was a time, and it's quoted, that Trent, if you just tell us who did this, who's to blame, and we'll topple their head. We'll make sure their heads topple. Now, Trent refused to throw any human being under the bus because, first of all, those people have families. And second of all, people in position should have a pulse of what's going on around the building. So it wasn't up to him to fire someone. But those changes that were made, Trent, he gets thanks by all of his teammates today. Guys that now get to experience the new training staff, which, by the way, are good guys. I've dealt with the trainer there now when he was in Carolina. He sparked a change, almost cost him his life, but he was able to spark a change. But that doesn't take away the fact that there's no relationship. There hasn't tried to be a relationship with Ron and the new personnel. So it's just best that they release him at this point.
Vince Taylor's with us here, agent for Trent Williams, kind enough to give us a few minutes this morning. Vince, I want you to tell me where I'm wrong here, okay? Everything you said about the previous regime, I think every Redskins fan, you know, by and large, would co-sign that. Nobody liked the previous guys. They're gone. The thing that I think a lot of Redskins fans think now, and this is where I want you to correct me, is the holdup in Trent not being able to have been traded right now are his contract demands. That's lowered the market and changed his attractability, even though we know he could still play and he's a really good football player and a great person, as you're alluding to. Now the holdup seems to be on your end. Tell me why that's not correct.
Yeah, man, you know, I grew up without all the social media platforms and things like that. So it's amazing how Trent could have contract demands out there. The last time we've had any negotiations with the Redskins was when Trent got his first contract, when he got his second contract. We have never talked numbers with the Redskins since. Now, as far as
there's a report that he was looking for $20 million a year to set the tackle market. Is that not true?
That is not true. That is totally false.
So let's just say if I'm Cleveland and I'm willing to trade for him, but I'm only willing to pay him $16 million, that wouldn't be a holdup for you guys.
Right. If we could get to a point where we could talk about those numbers, that would not be a holdup for us. You know, that the contract has never been the holdup. The Redskins, prior to the combine, put Trent on the trade market. They had him on maybe 10 days, and even through the combine, which is the biggest business platform for teams looking to wheel and deal. Upon leaving the combine, the Redskins had not gotten one offer that they could bring to Trent and I so that I could negotiate our side. I had teams call me, and I won't call them out. I had two teams call me that said, those guys do not know what they're doing. Their ask is outrageous. So upon that,
you say their ask, meaning the round that they want for
the
Trent
compensation?
Williams?
Yep. The compensation that they were asking for was totally absurd. And I had two teams call to tell me that.
But I look at Trent Williams. You have to tell me if he's healthy and he can still play at an all-pro level. Because if the answer of those two things is yes, you know, one of the things you said that they should release him. I think you'd agree with me to just release a guy at this point who is as good as Trent Williams when they don't have a starting left tackle who's proven on their roster. It doesn't make a lot of sense for them to do that. I'm thinking if I'm running the team, I've got an asset here as one of the best left tackles in the sport. I want at least a second-round pick back for that guy, or else he's not going anywhere, right? I mean, you get that.
Right, and you got to understand when you're asking and what you're asking for. All that matters. You get a perfect case study. You look at Cam Newton. At one point, was probably one of the greatest athletes of all times. He was just released, so a lot of that probably had to do with, you know, team having respect for what he's done for them and given them with his body and his contribution to the game. Other may have been salary. You know, other may have been team not being able to get what they wanted.
A new coach, they're moving on. I mean, right now, I believe you represent Jaron Christian, correct, who's one of the other left tackles on the team?
Correct.
But they don't have an option kind of to plug in for Trent Williams at this point to start that they feel good about protecting Dwayne Haskins' blind side, which I guess is right. The issue for me is a year ago, Vince, my point, and I was screaming this from every rooftop, I couldn't believe they weren't trading him. He had 2 years left on his deal. You could probably get a first-rounder, at worst a second-rounder back. There are a lot of teams that needed linemen who were competitive in season. Now, though, there's only 1 year left on his deal. And here's another thing I guess you could help me with. This is another thing that's out there, and it's awesome that Vince Taylor, the agent for Trent Williams, is on with us, kind of clearing some of this up and giving some insight from the player's perspective. The new CBA, correct me if I'm wrong, it makes it extremely difficult for players like your client to hold out again. Because of the fines that come down the pike, because basically he doesn't get to go a year closer to free agency, which was the case last year. He would basically have to owe the team a year if he never shows up again. So can't the Redskins, don't they have the leverage here in terms of him being in a hard spot where he has to show back up, or am I wrong about that?
Well, before we even get to that, I'd like to address what we were talking about them. You know, the Cam Newton deal and them not having a player of substantial to replace Trent with. Now, when the Redskins gave me permission to seek a trade for Trent, we have had legitimate trade partners with our side being ready to go. Our deal is in place. The Redskins have changed their ask from day to day. One day it's this, the next day it's that. And with that being said, it's about what is enough for you to have a player to replace Trent. Like you said, in the past, they've had opportunities to get players and draft picks. They didn't. Then we presented them with opportunities to get players and or draft picks, and they have not done it. And Trent could have been traded over a week ago. The ball has never been strictly in our court. It's always been on the Redskins. So, do the Redskins have leverage? Of course. They're his employers. But when it comes down to having a relationship with someone and having a good working understanding, it comes down to, like Ron says, the culture. If your culture is to have people that are on board with you, why are you still keeping this young man from having an opportunity to work and make a living?
So
you've done it. You've done it. You've done it in the past. You've moved players for less.
So, Vince, I want to go to your statement here. And Vince Taylor, kind enough to join us here for a few minutes on Grant and Danny, agent for Trent Williams. Players who are outwardly critical of the team do get traded. That's a pretty clear reference to Quentin Dunbar, who had a lot to say on social media and was very comfortable saying some things, in contrast to Trent, who you believe, you know, didn't do some of these sorts of things. Was this meant to apply pressure to the Redskins to kind of get them to negotiate in good faith, as you also in your statement accused them of not having interest in doing?
I think it was just more of – it was really all about timing, because we had gotten information from a club that was willing and ready to make a trade, and we're already ready to go with our deal. And the team has changed their narrative from day to day. It's very frustrating. So that was just happened to happen just in that order. It wasn't designed. It wasn't a knee-jerk reaction, if that's what you're asking.
And Vince, you said willing and ready to make a trade. The Redskins, from what I've been told to the people I've talked to, I've always heard, since really the start of this offseason, second-round pick. Now, you're way more plugged in, obviously, than I am on this, and you'd be able to tell me if I'm wrong about that. But when you say a team's ready to make a trade, I have to imagine if a team is willing to give up a second-round pick, then the trade would have happened. You know, a team comes to you and they say, let's get the deal done with Trent, here's the contract, and we'll give the Redskins a four. Again, I'm not trading Trent Williams for a four, right? Would you trade Trent Williams for a four?
Well, like I said, there's no relationship at all with Trent and Ron. There's not at all, you know. And
would he be willing to build that bridge? Like, would he want to go into the park and get to know Ron, or is that ship sailed?
Well, yeah, that ship has sailed a long time ago. And like I said in the beginning, 45 days that went by, and of course you got to give people time to get acclimated to the new building. But when you start meeting with players that you have a previous relationship with, that on the free market, you know, Greg Olsen came into town, he openly met with him. Me as Trent representative reached out to the Redskins on multiple occasions just to try to get Trent and Ron in the same room because of our optimism. And you meet with him for 10 minutes, and his message to you was like, look, come in here and prove yourself. It's not to say, hey, man, how are you doing? You know, how's your family? You know, we think that you're in our plans. If Trent Williams was in their plans, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So when you say you wouldn't give up a second-round pick, you know, you can think of Trent, you know, people, not you, but people sometimes got to understand, I mean, yes, this is football, but at the end of the day, these men are not possessions. This is a man that suffered a disability, had let the organization know time after time about something very minuscule, but then it turns out to be something where he's having a conversation with his family that I may not be here next year. So
right.
When you get to that point, I mean, at some point, yeah, it's about football and all that stuff, but then when you look at the contributions a man has made, he's been your most decorated, most consistent representative, seven Pro Bowls. He's been a team captain. He's loved and revered. There's guys that text him today, Brandon Sheriff, that he still gives advice to and help along. Even Flowers, you know, even Todd Nasecki, guys that were there, Kirk Cousins, you know, he's not hated by one individual.
No, and I'll say this, and this is where it's so complicated for me, and this is why I'm happy that you came on, and we've talked about this. I covered Trent for 4 years. Okay, he's one of my favorite players I've ever covered. I tell stories all the time about how tough he was, not able to walk on a Wednesday, playing on a Sunday. So I completely get what you're saying. I, in the middle of this thing, though, I get the team side when they say we've paid him $95 million too. So, yeah, he is a mensch, and he's done well by them. But at the same time, they paid him $95 million. This thing started over the medical stuff, which they feel like they've worked out. Is it how much of the medical issue is still the problem, or is it more contract, or is it past both of those things now where it's a matter of it doesn't even matter, he just wants to be somewhere else?
Right, and I'd like to touch on that. It's never been about the contract. It's never been about the contract. Trent, at one point, you know, you play your deal out. Yes, he's made money. But let's be frank. You don't make that type of money in a National Football League, which is not for long, if you don't bring it, if you don't bring the premium play. So Trent has more than validated the $95 million he's made. Seven Pro Bowls, like I said, team captain, probably most notable player in the community, all of those things. So that comes with what you bring. We also know contracts are based on what you're going to bring in the future. You know, it's based on, because you see guys now making absurd amount of money based on what they think they may do. Now, Trent has never made demands on a contract. When it, what happens, there is no relationship here. You know, it took for him to have to have a lose his life and then realize he was all alone in this fight. Like I said, he hasn't seen or talked to anybody from the Redskins other than when we spoke, when he went to speak with Ron. That may have been the only conversation he's had with somebody from the Redskins in over a year and a half since he got diagnosed.
Vince, so I'm sorry, buddy. I just, we're up against it. I had one more that I wanted to get to here. It's if there's no relationship, it sounds like there's no relationship from the other side either. And I think we'd all agree it's in Trent's best interest to not be here in Washington anymore, right? And the manner of which that happens is, I think, the sticking point. What more could you do, in your opinion, to facilitate Trent Williams no longer being a Washington Redskin?
Yeah, other than what we've done, like I said, they had 10 days to facilitate a trade. They were not able to generate one team based on their ask. They gave us the opportunity. We presented them with a team. There is a team that was ready to pull the trigger as of last week. They've changed their ask. We just asked that, you know, at this point, you know, of course there's respect there for Dan, but, you know, moving forward, it's time for it to end, you know. Time for it to end.
And the last thing I want to get your comment on real quick, Vince, you've been gracious with your time. Vince Taylor is the agent for Trent Williams. This is real good insight, as we've heard a lot plenty of people, but not as much intel from the player perspective on the inside as we've gotten in the last 22 minutes over the last year and a half now, which is great. I want to get your reaction really quick to this, which is out there, which is the reason he has not been traded is that his contract demands are so lofty that if I'm a team, say the Chargers or the Browns, I can't trade a high draft pick and then give him the money he wants. And the point being, if you guys want or take less money, maybe that would get the deal done. Is that a juice worth the squeeze thing for you guys, or is that not how you're viewing it? And just comment on that.
Right. Yeah, that's totally false. It's not the contract. You know, it's strictly the team. It's strictly the team making a mockery, or people that get information privy to them that's making a mockery of the situation. What's more important for Trent is just to move on with his career. Like I said, at some point in his life, he would love to come back and be in the Ring of Honor and be a part of what he helped through his time with the Redskins, and not be like Terry Bradshaw's situation, come back 20 years later and realize you are loved because he loves the fans, he loves the area. But it is not the contract. I repeat, we have a team that has offered the Redskins. Everybody's ready to go, but the Redskins' ask change from day to day.
What do you think fair value would be for the Skins in a trade for Trent?
Well, one thing we've always maintained is that we're not going to negotiate for the Washington Redskins, and they're not going to negotiate for us. So how it works, we have our conversation, get our piece worked out. They have their conversation and get their piece worked out. Now, when they were shopping Trent, they were talking to teams to get their piece worked out. They could never get past that. I had teams, like I said, call me and say they don't know what they're doing. Now that we have the opportunity.
Presumably you can't give us details on that, right? Or do you know the details on that?
Yeah, I like to respect, you know, people that are not on the phone with us right now. So just keep it. You know, just keep it relevant with, you know, our side. But absolutely, it is not the contract.
Absolutely. Well, Vince, I got to tell you, very, very cool of you to come on with us today.
Really
appreciate
it, man.
And as I said, we talk about this all the time. Fans call in about this all the time. And this is a perspective that before right now wasn't out there. So thanks for joining us. We kept you a while, but we appreciate you doing it.
Thank you, Vince.
Oh, no, I appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.
Be well and be safe.
Vince Taylor, the agent for Trent Williams, as he's trying to get a resolution for his client, and the Redskins obviously have dug in, and they want what they want out of this as well. Let's take your calls next and react to that at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. 636-1067. Your thoughts to what Vince Taylor just told us on Grant and Danny.
My name's Danny Ruye. I'm a Ted Britt guy. I can prove it. Three different times in my personal history, I've been to Ted Britt Ford, and I've left immensely satisfied with a brand spanking new vehicle. All the way back in 2016, before quarantines, before social distancing, before COVID-19 was a thing, I was driving around in a Ford Edge. The wife loves that car. As their family started to grow, you need more stuff just to move by 50 feet. I went back because I was so satisfied. I got myself a Ford Fusion, and then we updated the 2016 Ford Edge with a 2019, I think is what it was, when the lease expired. The point is this. I love Ted Britt Ford. These guys are so good at what they do. They've been in business for 60 years. That's right, 60 years plus in business, because they're excellent at making people happy. You're going to get a brand spanking new ride at a wonderful discount. How about this? An F-150, $15,900 off the MSRP. Right now, that's happening. 2020 Ford Explorer, $11,600 under the MSRP. How about a Mustang, $6,800 off the MSRP? These guys are awesome. Please go see my friends at Ted Britt Ford, Fairfax Chantilly. Click away at TedBritt.com. Just tell them Danny sent you.
What an interview with Vince Taylor. A lot of people tweeting us, and we appreciate that, at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny, that enjoyed the opportunity to hear from Trent's agent. We'll take your calls at 800-636-1067 before the top of the hour in a moment on that. 800-636-1067, your thoughts on what Vince Taylor told us. Let's go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline and welcome onto the show Jarrett Bell of USA Today Sports, one of our favorite NFL writers nationally, who's done such a good job with this offseason with so many big stories. I want to get to your Brady piece because you talked to Joe Montana. And you had some great quotes from Montana in your story in a moment. But we just had Trent Williams' agent on right before you here, Vince Taylor,
right,
and asked him all about what's going on with this situation. I just want to get the national perspective. You've got an agent who's saying, look, my client doesn't want to be there. Please trade him. You've got a team that's saying, we're willing to trade him, but you guys need to make lesser demands from the teams that are bringing him in. How does this end? This is a really sticky wicket, and it doesn't seem like either side is willing to budge.
Yeah, and it's all complicated by the situation we're in with the shutdown, right? Mm. Because under normal situations, you could maybe take a couple visits if there are questions about the physical condition of the guy, or even just having that talk at different team headquarters, you can at least have that tour. And I know they don't do tours as much as they used to, you know, a generation ago, Grant, but I think that complicates it. But I really think my sense of it is the demand of how much he's willing to, you know, how much he wants. And so it really kind of gets down to a bottom line business deal in my mind. If you can assume that the health will check out, but teams need to know about the health. And when you're talking about the dollars, too, for a guy who didn't play last year, that could be a tough pill for some teams to follow. But I think a lot of that, too, again, is tied to the medical and the physical condition. But, it's an interesting situation.
Jarrett Bell, USA Today, with this great piece about Joe Montana and Tom Brady that we'll reference here in a moment, Jared, but this is all fresh. Just happened on our airwaves. Vince Taylor, the agent for Trent Williams, said a number of times that the Redskins don't know what they're doing, and that's what he was told by some teams as this market materialized. They would come back to the Redskins with an offer, and the Redskins would change their asking price, et cetera. Just kind of from your perspective as a guy that's very plugged in, what have you heard in terms of this? The old regime, Bruce Allen, we all pretty had a good feeling. He didn't know what he was doing. This new regime, though, that's not a wonderful thing to hear, at least at the outset, their first major obstacle or challenge or decision they have to make. What have you heard on that front?
Yeah, I haven't heard a whole lot because I haven't really been knee-deep into that story like that, because this thing has kind of gone on for a while. Washington's reputation around the NFL in terms of, you know, how the front office, you know, deals with players and agents and other teams. I mean, that's been, you know, questioned for a long time, as you just mentioned. And so the way I see it right now in terms of anything, I've not heard a whole lot because, like I said, I haven't really done much on that. But this is a whole new opportunity for Ron Rivera and crew to kind of right that ship. And that takes time as well. And I think the thing that you always kind of knew about Washington over the past, you know, several, many years, is that so much kind of goes back to Dan Snyder. And that's not always all-inclusive. I don't know if he's involved in every single thing, but, you know, and that could be a positive, too. It's kind of like if Dan Snyder likes your client, there's a chance that he's going to, you know, to get a big offer from Washington. So, I mean, I always thought that that was something that kind of defined how Washington operated. How it will operate in this new scenario with Rivera, like I said, I just don't know because I haven't done much work on that.
Jarrett, appreciate you talking Williams with us for a moment after that breaking news. But the reason originally we tracked you down last night was your story of Joe Montana on Tom Brady's departure from the Patriots. You got a hold of Joe Cool, and you talked to him about this. It sounds like he is one of the many of us who are pretty surprised that this actually happened and Brady actually left the Patriots. If you wouldn't mind telling us about your conversation with Montana.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to get Joe's insight because he's Joe Montana. And talking about a guy who, like Brady now, made a big career move late in his career. Now, Montana's circumstances were different because he had the elbow injury and then Steve Young emerged and the 49ers actually traded him to Kansas City. But that was why I wanted to hear from Joe, just to get his insight on how things may be flowing for Brady from this point on. But it all started with him saying, I can't understand how the Patriots let him out the door. Now, we know that Brady in his last contract included a clause that dictated that the team would not designate him with a franchise tag, so he would be able to hit the market. But just to get to that point in the first place, the way Montana put it to me, he just wondered if this was a situation where, you know, Brady just wanted more control of what they did with the Patriots offense, and that was part of the reason that, you know, he just kind of felt he had to leave. Now, you know how the Patriots roll with Bill Belichick, and so maybe it wasn't so much of a personal friction between those two, but, you know, it could be really a tough place to come to work year after year after year with the way that the Patriots run it sometimes. Well, the way they run it with Belichick.
Terrific. Jarrett Bell is with us, USA Today columnist, caught up with Joe Montana and his reflections on Tom Brady. It's a great piece now. I'll tweet out the link at Funny Danny here in a moment. But, Jarrett, for my money, I'm 40, and I grew up watching Montana, and no one will convince me anybody's better than that guy. Now, the numbers, you know, it's a different era and things don't hold up, but he, to me, is the number one seed. And I think the biggest difference, and I think you touched on this, is every time you've had a legend have a second chapter, whether it's Favre, Montana, Peyton Manning, whomever else, there was always somebody waiting in the wings, the security blanket for the team. This is what's unusual about the Patriots. It's Hoyer and Stidham at this point. That seems crazy to have that kind of confidence in, that your program is that good that you can move on from a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Maybe it's Stidham and Hoyer, right?
Right, yeah.
they've had Hoyer in and out of there, you know, a couple, three times. But good that he knows the system, and that's a guy that they were able to get back in there. But fully expecting that they'll make some move. I wonder about some of these veterans that are on the market and which one will end up in New England. And even guys who are not technically on the market now, like Andy Dalton, is intriguing. Obviously, Cam Newton is intriguing, too. I don't know if he meshes with Belichick personality wise, but I wouldn't just like totally discount that either, because, you know, the Patriots have a history of bringing in, you know, some veteran guys. And I think, you know, like you can think about Randy Moss being one until it fizzled, but Randy Moss went there and got with the program. Corey Dillon is a great example. And I think that really the only knock on Newton from, you know, a personality standpoint is that, you know, he's a bit high strung when it comes to his on field demonstrations and whatnot. But in terms of his work ethic and his football IQ, I think Cam could be a good fit for them. And, you know, it's talking about a quarterback who has, you know, loads of experience and former MVP and went to a Super Bowl and all of that. So I think I'd be intrigued to see if that could happen. Jameis Winston, you wonder about him as well. And even though we know he had the turnover issues last year, there's still a lot of upside with him. So I'm almost expecting the Patriots will make a move on one of these veteran guys. But like I said, Andy Dalton would be in that mix as well.
Jarrett Bell, read the story, USA Today. Really, really neat to see what Montana had to say about Brady. Great idea by you, Jarrett. Thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jarrett.
Okay, Grant. Take care. Okay.
Yeah, be well. There's Jarrett Bell on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. 800-636-1067 is the number. Your thoughts on what Vince Tiller, the agent for Trent Williams, told us earlier this hour. Next, we'll get to your calls. Is the number, 800-636-1067. We want to give you guys an opportunity to react to what you heard from the agent for Trent Williams, Vince Taylor, who joined us earlier today on the show at 11 o'clock. And I got to say, you know, most agents are not willing to do something like that. And if they come on, they're certainly not going to let their hair down and just talk ball with us and talk shop for 25 minutes. So whichever way you weigh in on this thing, I do have respect and admiration for him doing that and trying to enlighten people from Trent Williams' side of it. That having been said, there's a lot we can pick through and go back after now, a post-interview. This was kind of the opening salvo, the opening comments from the agent for Trent Williams, Vince Taylor, when he joined us on the show about 45 minutes ago. We'll get to your calls on the backside of hearing this to reintroduce the interview.
Moving down the road, you know, he had a fight on his hands, and by the grace of God, things came out great. He was able to get past it and move on. Through that time, the relationship with the Redskins basically deteriorated. While he spent time in the hospital, no one came to see him. No one. Getting back from it, working himself back into, you know, shape just to be a, you know, a decent human, able to do stuff day to day. Still no relationship. So then that rolls into at the point of the season starting where, you know, it was obvious we wanted to be somewhere else, wanted to be a part of a different culture. There were ample opportunities for the team to trade him. Teams were coming. At the time, you know, Bruce Allen was in charge. Never happened. So now we get to a point to where Trent shows up. He's put on a list they call NFI. When you put on an NFI list in the NFL, team is not obligated to pay you. Now, this is a young man who was stricken with a disability, got sent home, no pay. There's a guy named Jason Pierre-Paul has an accident with a firecracker, blows his thumb off, and he was compensated still 40% of his salary after being put on NFI. So we get to the new regime. Ron Rivera hired, you know, Trent optimistic that maybe, you know, things will be different. Yet there were a lot of changes made. Medical staff, field trainer, coaches, just a total overhaul. 45 days go by. Trent has not heard anything from Ron.
That part really surprised me, Danny, to hear that. And he went on to admit when we clarified that they have spoken. They had a conversation.
Yes.
They haven't talked since that conversation. But basically that for over a month and basically a month and a half after Ron Rivera was hired, he didn't talk to Trent Williams, not even until after they were talking to free agents like Greg Olsen. And look, it seems to me like Williams is hurt. You know, he's had his feelings hurt. He does not want to be here. He is sad. He does not like the Redskins anymore. He wants to break up. I get that. I will say that that did surprise me. If I'm Ron Rivera, just as a, you know, you hear in the presidential debates all the time, first day in office, what are the things that you're going to try to do?
Sure, your first 100 days, right?
If I was taking over as the coach of the Redskins, very high on my to-do list would be get a resolution to the Trent Williams situation, either by way of getting him on my side to help me run my culture and he's with us now for a year, or I meet with him, I find out that he's not with us, and I trade him. But that would have been one of the first things I did. It is really surprising to me if it's true that Trent Williams didn't hear anything from Rivera or the team, and according to the agent, they weren't even responding to his calls for over a month.
Yeah, so the biggest theme and takeaway, I know we got a lot to play and get to here, was a lot of what's been reported wasn't correct. That was according to Vincent Taylor. I mean, I'm going over months of reports about conversations, about trade offers, about contract demands, and he refutes all of those things, basically saying there's a lot of people that aren't correct who have talked to representatives from teams, but specifically to that no contact thing. February 11th is when I can find the article that Ian Rappaport, or he tweeted out a little bit of a thread. They've talked. It was a positive conversation. Presumably that came from the Redskins side, if you're to believe what Vince Taylor said. So, again, there's a lot that's out there that Vince Taylor was refuting with us a few moments ago.
Let's go to the phones and get some thoughts from those of you who listened to the interview at 800-636-1067. Casey is in D.C. on line three. We could start there. Hey, Casey, thanks for the call. What'd you think?
Thank you, guys. Hope you guys are staying safe. Thanks for taking my call.
You too, bud.
I thought it was a great interview. It was a great get. And certainly he's, you know, he's got one side of the story, which is his client, which is Trent. I understand that. The big thing here is the Redskins have no equity in this department. And whether it's coaches that they've run through here the last, you know, 20 years, or the multitudes of players that, you know, have left this organization pissed off and, you know, unhappy, they just don't seem to have a thorough process, and none of us are shocked organizationally for dealing with players. Like I said, even coaches, even people in the front office. Look at what they did to Brian LaFemina, you know, bringing in McLuhan. Everyone knew that was probably not going to end well. I mean, they're, you know, look at the player situation. Dunbar leaves for a fifth-round pick, a starting cornerback for a fifth-round pick. I mean, then you look at, you know, Haskins gets drafted, and there's talk. He comes in as a rookie, as a young person coming into the organization, and there's already talk that the head coach doesn't even want him on the team. I mean, this is the Redskins organization that we're dealing with, and I'm just hoping. I'm like you guys. I'm shocked that Ron Rivera didn't reach out to him, because I think every Redskin fan right now is hoping and praying that Ron Rivera can turn this thing around and bring some, you know, ethical behavior.
And I think, thanks for the call.
Process,
it's a really good call. Sorry to cut you off. I think he will, and I think he is the type of guy who can do that as a salt of the earth human being. I am surprised that it was not a higher priority to just get in touch with Trent Williams, is what I would say. Brian's in Woodbridge on line one. Brian, we got about a minute here for you. Go ahead.
Hey guys, thanks a lot. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say, first of all, Danny, I found one of your CDs that you had signed for me by old Mike B while I was in the hospital last year. I can't wait to crack it open.
Oh, nice.
Sometime
buddy.
This week. I'm gonna start with that. When it comes to this Trent situation, there's one thing about something that Vince Taylor that said that didn't sit well with me. He said that it was never about money. It was 11 minutes into the interview. He never mentioned money. He kept saying it wasn't about money. But then he said that Ron Rivera wanted Trent to prove himself. Prove himself for what? That tells me that it is about money, that Trent wants more money.
Appreciate the call. We got a heart out here because we're going to be joining our Richmond affiliates at the top of the hour, so I apologize. But we will get back into that money portion, because I think you're right. You've unearthed a pretty big part of all of this. Grant and Danny on the Fan the Blitz is next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.